Blog Talk Radio.
Those that know the power of prayer, I call upon you to intercede now so that God's message will go forth. There is no strategy of the enemy that can undo the plan of God. And we praise and we thank him for it. We worship him for it. We are stepping out into the deep. We're going into places unknown. And yet, we have a calm faith in our King with God. darling. To cry about a heart yielding to the purpose and the will of the Father. A heart that wants the limit to be no more. Going be a faith without limits. For we have a God who has no limits. We have an unchanging God, an eternal God. And as we're unfolding this mystery and truth that God has for us, we want our faith to be without borders, our faith to go to those supernatural places that our Savior dwells in and he has bid us to come. And in our coming, we need a faith that knows some things about the living God that will cause our journey to be a joyful one, a steadfast one, and a powerful one for the kingdom of the living God. And so as that song echoes, oceans deep, that where our faith will grow, and this is what he's doing. He's growing our faith. He is growing us. He's expanding our borders. The songwriter says, let me walk upon the waters, supernatural places that aren't everyday occurrences, but they are for those that have been called up hither. And as we find more and more out about the God that we may not know, we get a confidence in his promises. We also get a confidence in his prophecies. And having that kind of confidence is what frees us, because it is the truth. And it will free us. And we do not have to walk in fear or chaos or wondering. And so in these end times, as the Bible says, it is even possible for the very elect to be undone, but not when we follow the strategies of the Lord. The strategies of the Lord seem sometimes to not be enough because of what we see. That's why in walking on the water, going out into the deep, nothing, I have been on a boat maybe once or twice, but it wasn't far from shore, and I could see the land. But I know that there are those of you who have been on ships and gone on cruises, and you've been on big boats, and being on those boats, you didn't see any land. There was no land in sight, nothing but this changing, ebbing, and rising of water. Of water. Not a substance that we could walk on, not a substance that we're used to navigating on, and at some point it makes different individuals not really feel that well because there's nothing stable about it. However, God wants us to know in the knowledge that he reveals to us about him, that unstable water even obeys him. And if he tells that water to bear you up and allow you to walk upon it, then it will. It will become solid like a rock, even though it will remain to be water. That's our faith being, that's our faith being stretched. That's our faith being without boundaries. There is nothing too hot for God. There's nothing impossible for God, and whatever will bring him glory through our lives, he is going to do it because it would be his perfect will for us. And so, again, I do apologize for the confusion this morning, the systems of the world. I think it's so perfect because we're going to look at knowing the changeless God, and the book starts out with what experts call ROC, R-O-C, Rate of Change. It says there's an acronym. It's not just change, but it's the rate of change that's rocking our world, rocking our presence, rocking our circumstances and situations. I don't know about you, but there's some things that used to be that are no more. And we keep looking for a level of standing, and it doesn't exist. It's gone. It has changed because there are technologies that have replaced folk, and so people have become less focused on what it is they're supposed to do. Businesses are becoming more focused on what all they get because of technology, and they don't have to.
Someone please go on.
Yes, can somebody put their phone on? And so we have to realize too that in this this very rapid rate of change, and the author shares some technical information. He says that there was a individual who years ago, in 1965, who shared the fact that technology and information processing would double every 2 years. More technically, he predicted that the number that's involved in these intricate circuits would double approximately every 2 years, making things so much more complicated. It says the decades have passed since Moore uttered his prediction, but his observation was staying. The rate of change had accelerated more even than he expected. It says that according to another writer for Forbes magazine, it says this means in 5 years our technology will be 32 times better than it is now. And in 10 years, it will be 1,000 times better. And in 20 years, it will be 1 million times more advance. So what he is saying that within 30 years, this is going to happen. And when you look back on the last 10 years even, and don't go back 20 years, we can see how technology has changed the way we live. There are no more pay phones. There's no need for them. There used to be a payphone on every corner. I don't know how many people remember that. Water fountains everywhere because that's how we got water. But because of technology and the way they're able to make this plastic and do these things, we carry our water around with us. But with every advance and every technology, we have a responsibility to God's created world, and we are not meeting that responsibility. And as God's creation, the earth groans for us to stand and care for it as was God's original plan. And so when you see some of the specials and documents on litter and the plastic that's in the sea and what that in the oceans and what that does to the ocean life and how that is going to filter in on our living. Everything is connected because that's the way our God made it. And he wants us to be aware of this because this truth is going to set us free from some things that are going to be happening that the world is not going to understand why, or they're not even going to understand why, but they're going to be thrown into chaos because of it, because they don't have a knowledge of the truth. And yet God is revealing this because he is unchanging, even though the world is changing rapidly. But he knew from the beginning of time, or before the beginning of time, what 2022 was going to look like. He knew what 2020 was going to do. He understood because he's seen the past, the present, and the future all in one time. He's in all three because he's not bound by time. So this is to give us a mindset that will develop a confidence in what we've known that he said and what we've read that he has revealed in his work and the decrees that he makes over us. Confidence should be growing. This faith should be growing in the presence of Jesus Christ. And that presence in us is the Holy Spirit, because he's going to give us a truth that is going to reveal these mysteries, the wonders of God's person, so that this every word that comes out of his mouth is such a word of life and power till we will no longer walk around with our heads bowed or feeling in any kind of way other than victorious. Because Christ said, these things are going to happen, I promise you. So just as the predictions, and not the predictions, but the prophecies are sure, so are the promises. But we have to know what the prophecies are as well. One of the things that actually that's in the Wednesday class are a set of P's. The person, is it that book or this book? Lord, I don't know which book it is. It's this book, I think. Okay, there's a set of P's.
Overseer?
Yes.
Ponder,
yes.
Picture, and pray?
Yes. Yeah, that's part of the P's. Ponder, picture, and pray. Can't get it out today. However, also involved in that is God's personality, his person, and I don't know, where did I read that? It was three things, his promises, and now his prophecy. All of these as well are attributed to him and revealed to us to build in us this confidence to walk on water. This, the word of God, as she shared, the ponder, you know, that's that meditating on it, and that's what we're doing every day as we're reading, as we're studying, as we get our scriptures, and we're living in the word, and then living, having the word live out of us. And so these four P's, I wrote them on the side of my book, but I didn't write what they were, but at any rate, they do include the promises. They include the personality of God, and all these things we're learning about the God we might not know, but realizing the extent of his desire to be with us for an eternity, and his understanding of knowing it's impossible for us to be able to accomplish this. And so he established his strategy, and then understanding this strategy has to work because of who he is, because he has desired it and he has spoken it, and it will come to pass. And but that is a surety. That is something that shall be. So he reminded us, I've said a lot of things, and everything I've said has been, shall be. And so you can count on this that I'm saying to come about, to come to pass. And so no matter what the world, how the world is changing around you at this rapid pace that often make us feel like we're left out because we're not that technically advanced and that there are things that we need to embrace in order to continue in a way that is successfully integrating what we do in Christ with the world so that we can reach the world. We can't go out and make disciples if we don't know what's out there and how to go. There are some things and what people are looking at and how they are addressing things, as we see with this 2 years ago, maybe 3 years, well, I don't know what year is this. Yeah, it must be 2 years ago. But 2 years ago, we would have never had a conference online. We would have never had worship service online. Now, there have been TV services. There have been radio services. However, and some people had been internetting as well, but you never had this, we're all sitting here and the ability to see one another and to realize that it is two or three gathered here, and the worship in such an environment can be just as powerful. But if we have not allowed this change to be filtered into our existence, we would be left out, which is how so many people who, in especially in other countries, but may not have a computer or these smartphones and all this technology and stuff like that, and it's as though they might be left out, though God is always, always going to have a way to reach everybody because this is part of who his personality is. But when we realize that those are some things the overseer had to realize, even with today, and the blog talk does different things, and you have no control over them. You think it's going to be one way, and you go in, and it's not, and they got new rules and new laws, and you know, it's a new year, and, you know, new contracts and things that you would think in the past that was something you let people know in advance. That things don't work that way anymore. They work by this technical environment. And that environment is a compassionate one. It's not even a one that got good sense. It's not really common. But because it's not processed by an individual, but rather by a machine. And so you have a whole generation of people that are coming up that's not used to relationships. They're used to interacting with their phone and their computer. There are some people, I don't think they look up. You know, in 1 hour, they may look up 10 minutes, but the rest of the 50 minutes, they have their face in a phone. And sometimes I wonder, what are you looking at that long? And they can do it for hours, but that's a part of this rate of change. So they're getting this kind of communication, this kind of interaction in a very different way than we had, I'll say, 30 years ago, not even long. It used to be you had a beeper, you know, call me, hit me up on my beeper. It would beep, 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 and you would go somewhere and find a phone and call a person back, you know, and then it became a point where you could actually call the person no matter where they were. If they had a cell phone, just like now, you could call it. Now, when you think of the things you could do with your cell phone, or walk, you know, count your steps. I mean, there, and there's so much more that I have no clue. But, I mean, there are so many things now that are available this year that weren't available 5 years ago. And as a result, these machines, these devices, they may last 2 years, maybe, but then they start glitching and doing the things they do. But all of this is a sign of the fast, the rock, they call it, the rock, the rate of change, the rate of change. This change, actually, the author shares it as it's a pandemic. It is now so advanced that our normal decision-making processes, they can't keep up with it, which is presenting monumental challenges for many businesses. So as a result, the businesses do not run as efficiently as they can just because of this fast rate of change. So when you just think about a cash register, and most of us, well, you know, maybe people don't use cash registers, but anyway, there was a time, that's the only way you paid for a product was with a cash register. They would click, 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 hit it, you give them the money, they put it in the cash register, and then the cash register start giving you the change back automatically. And then you start talking into a mic, and the machine, the cash register, pulls the prices out or reads a code, and it populates the price in there. And so there's none of that other manual aspect of things that's available, and it does it so quickly, we don't often have opportunity to monitor or share it. And that's why it says the decision, you have to make a decision, but they come so quickly because things go so quickly because they are electronic and they're technical and they're working at such a rapid pace till often, that is why, and God knew that. He knew that this time was coming. And this is why Christ said, but don't worry, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he's more rapid than any computer or device that there is, because he gives us the prophecy as well as the promises, and he gives us the insight of what heaven is releasing to us, and he gives it to us moment by moment, which is why we were in a class and they were saying every hour by hour. And it's like, if you wait an hour for something, you will have missed the right window of opportunity. And it's moment by moment. That's how that rate of change is changing how we need to involve ourselves in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There was a time we felt a level of confidence that we were in the place that God would have us to be. Things didn't move that fast. Things weren't going. Laws are changing. So we individuals are surfacing with doctrines and what do you call those things? Theories. We'll call them theories. Doctrines and theories. There's so many of them out there. You can't keep up with them. That's this rate of change. And so we have to realize that this rate of change is taking us to a place where if you're not rooted and grounded, changeless personality of God, then it can be chaos. It can be confusion. It can be anxiety. It becomes stress. It becomes, in some levels, all of that leads to a bitterness and an anger. You know, I think sometimes that's where road rage comes from, because people want things to go fast. They want them to move. This very quick rate of change from one place to another, and anytime it slows down or someone gets in the way, it evokes this emotion that's explosive. And that's because we're feeling threatened. We are feeling threatened because decisions are being made. They're being made quickly, and we don't want them to be made and we haven't put our input in. And that's just a really rough kind of diagram of it, but it is a way that life becomes, you're worried that you made the right decision, and then the decision has to be made quickly. Sometimes, you know, it was a time where to make a decision, and you could have, you know, I want to think about it or pray about it for a week or two. Sometimes you don't have a week or two. It's a moment, which is why that instant and that constant connection to Holy Spirit moment by moment is so vital. And we must
keep that connection and know that that connection is empowered by these personalities of God that are changeless, that are eternal, that are faithful, and that are holy. And we don't have to worry about those things as long as we stay connected. Abide in me, and I abide in you. Now we're seeing why this abiding is necessary, because all other ground truly is sinking sand. And though the rock of the rate of exchange that the world is looking at, our rock is Jesus Christ. And on him, there is this calm stability. There's this peaceful habitation. And he says, it's what no one can take from you, because I am giving it to you. So I don't care how fast the computer goes, my Holy Spirit will give you insight, and I am a miracle witness. He'll give you an understanding. Do this. I'll hit a button and don't know why, but it worked. Praise the Lord. And just like today, I had no idea what I was doing. I had enlisted help from other areas that were more expert, and they did not do it. They were all weak and all of this. And so you just sit down and say, well, Lord, this is your program. So what you want us to know, we will know, because you will give us that venue to do it. This technology is not greater than you. And then boom, 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 and then it worked. That's the miracle of God not allowing this fast rate of change to derail his agenda for his people. So I wanted to, I know we just started late. Yes, ma'am.
Were you looking for the 5 P's in this chapter?
Okay, sure.
Is that what you were thinking?
You see them? Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I think so. Yes.
Unchanging, the 5 P's.
Where are they?
He didn't list them individually, but they start on page 99. His promises are unchangeable, his purposes, his provision.
Yes, that's it.
His personality and his property.
Thank you very much. I know it was in this book somewhere or in some book somewhere. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes. You know, and just understand, you know what, and I wrote it on page 101. So tell me why I didn't highlight the right thing. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Can you say it one more time?
Okay, tell it one more time.
God's on page 99.
Yes.
He didn't list them individually, but they're his promises are changeless, his purpose, his provision, his personality, and his prophecies are unchanged.
Thanks.
And his promise. Did we say promise?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Promises.
So all of these things. Yes.
Division, personality, and prophecies.
Thank you. And the one that struck me was his personality, because I never thought, I don't know why, of God as a personality. But then when we understand the person of God and of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus Christ. And
yes,
his personality is extremely powerful because of what they're standing for, what they're going to do, and what they have said. So I will open it up for questions, comments, insights. We do want, there's a couple of questions I do want to get to. So I want somebody to be looking for the Revelation 22:5 and Jeremiah 29:11. So we're looking at the questions from last week's lesson, and I just want to get the foundation of those in So when we go to the questions for the changeless God, I keep wanting to say the unchanging God, but there's a difference between unchanging and changeless. And I just think the changeless is more powerful than unchanging. And that's just overseer's personal, you know, preference or whatever. It just speaks more to me of his personality and the nature of who God is and has to be. So questions, comments, insights, revelations as you were reading? It was interesting. I made a highlight on some of the areas in this book that we actually read from the Wednesday book, and the list of scriptures for the promises are unchanging, and that list of scriptures was the part of the list of scriptures that we were given to look up in the other book. Which is why I want us to see the dual purpose of the two and not think of them individually, but just as a continuation and of each other. He talked about this chapter. Oddly, talked about God being the core of the universe and the center of our life, and we talked about God being the center and what that means and how that is looking. And someone has shared with me about the book of James, all of this powerful information that is a part of the Philippian scripture that we are looking into. It is my determined purpose. And at the end where it says to so suffer, you know, and so the Bible even says how Christ promised we're going to. He promised. But with that promise also came the prophecy of what was going to happen when we did and if we don't. And so just all of this, I love it when you see words that are part of the church and the ministry teaching. But immutability, you know, is one of the words that the individuals have on their ordination, and they kind of give this pat answer for it. And yet the way this author treats the presentation of this aspect of God is very powerful. It's life change. It truly, truly is life change. And so just the idea of his immutability, his unchanging nature. It says he remains everlastingly the same. I love some of the phrases that this author uses, but everlastingly the same. There are no furrows on his eternal brow. In other words, he'll got no frown lines. No age has beset him, so he don't look like an old person. No years have marked him with the mementos of their flight. So no matter what it was, and he has gone through some ages where individuals were evil and wicked beyond understanding, but none of that aged him. He sees ages past. But with him, it is ever now. He is the great I am, the great unchangeable God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that gives us a level why he deserves to be in the center of our life. That unalterably steadfast, unalterably steadfast. Just some words used it's not to identify him, but to just describe his personality. Unalterably steadfast. That's powerful. So the lines are open for you.
Yes. And Minister Paulette, you can mm-hmm. find them. You can find those where you read it listed all together on page 107. That's where you read
it. Oh.
The bottom of page 107. But what stood out to me too was on page 109 where it says in Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed."
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes. Yes.
Therefore, you are not consumed. You know, it's just, you know, what he says to us, it just doesn't change. Talks about where he does not change one word of his promise. If you reject him, you will go to a Christless eternity. His warning system, when he told Adam and Eve, if you disobey him, you shall surely die. The soul who sins shall die. If we reject him, you would die in your sin. And the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I found all of these, I said, you know, when we were talking about his laws, his precepts, and, you know, the different things, I thought about when I read this, these things came to, you know, brought those things into more focus. And so this chapter is very interesting, and it kind of requires you to read read the pages over, you know, either read that page I'm reading more than one time to kind of grasp what it's saying and take in, you know, what it's saying. It says his promises are reassurances for his people, and his prophecies speak of the future of humanity and warns us of a coming day of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Waver from what his word doesn't waver from what he say. It goes from Genesis on over to, you know, the old to the new.
Okay. Amen. I think as you were hearing, I have highlighted the whole paragraph, actually on 108, because I believe it's good for us when we see the Bible summarizing things, okay? And so this mm-hmm. author has started in Genesis, and you don't often hear about the prophecies of God. Oh, we got the promises. We need to know the prophecies, mm-hmm. and as you said. And here he definitely outlines the prophecies, and I encourage you to read 108. Because they're very powerful. And he starts from the beginning of the Bible, like you said, from Genesis, and he goes all the way to Revelation. And these prophecies shall come to pass because he's changeless. And he is, you know, we see all that. He's not a man that he should lie, not a son of man, you know, that he should repent. And even shares with us why. Some people question the fact, well, he did here, And it's like, no, he was just trying to communicate in our language a thing that's hard for us to understand. And so just as the prophecy is, we need to also see that the Book of Life is also a prophecy that we can depend on. I mean, he's unchangeable. So he's not going to go in there and erase my name. No. And if it's in there, it's in there. And so we have to get a confidence in the things that we read. And I think that's why sometimes we read the Bible, but we don't necessarily believe everything that's in it, or we believe it, take it with a grain of salt, if you will. And yet, it is as he has said it is. And then he says, and this is why. Because I can't lie. Because I saw it from the beginning to the end. I saw the end at the beginning, so I know what it's going to be. Let me explain to you, before it was, I am. Not even a past tense of me. I am. I am. And that's why I love that song when it says, a faith without bounds. We have to, because we have a God without bounds. And so in order for him to feel our contrite heart, because that is the address, he dwells in the heavens and earth, and he dwells in the heart that is contrite and humble. So for him to feel that heart, the faith of that heart, has to be without limits, because he is. That's how he enlarges our territory with himself in us. And the more of him that we receive, then the greater then we are supposed to be influencers. That's how we become influencers. So we really want to see his word in a new, more powerful light as it relates to where he is taking us, where our feet are going to trod, where we are going to abide. Anybody else?
When you stated walking in the light, stated about Revelation, I think you said 22:5.
20.
And I wanted.
You said 22:5.
Oh, it is 22:5.
Yes, it's 22:5. Yes.
Okay.
And the question is that.
Go ahead.
I just wanted, the question that goes with that is, what can we determine about time in Revelation 22:5? Go ahead now.
Okay. That he's a God. Okay. I was going to read the scripture in the Amplified and go with that. So
okay.
Let me get back with you on that question.
Well, you can just do your scripture. That's fine. We can do this.
No, go ahead. But somebody else might want to answer it as I did. On the Amplified, I just, I just like how it, and I was going back to it, Revelation 22:5. And it stated, it stated that, and there will be no longer be night. They have no need for lamplights or sunlight. The Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign as kings forever and ever. Can you repeat your question regarding that scripture?
Oh, it says, what can we determine about time from that?
Oh, okay. That he is time. It's not our time in anything. And
all right.
Yeah, because
are we going to still measure time?
Oh, I said it was fit in our time.
Okay.
Right?
Absolutely. That's right. Well, it won't be time.
I said,
remember,
I
there's not
going to
be
world,
there.
It won't exist.
Say that again.
My answer was that time won't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It won't exist as we know it, but there's another scripture that says time is in the Father. And night or day we won't know because he is light. There's nothing but light there where he is.
Right, which is why he gave us light and day to measure time for us. So
right.
There is an aspect of heaven that he is familiarizing us with in this revelation scripture, because what he's saying is the sun, his sun, is what's going to light it up. And he's never going dark. So there is no end to the day of the light that the sun is going to give. There is no need for, because as you, the other scripture says, time is in him. That's because he speaks it. He declares it to be, or he declares that it's not necessary. And it's only necessary for us here now. So when we're not here and now, there's no need for it.
So God
is
shining his light on us, right? So we don't need that.
Yeah,
light.
So that we can measure the days. Exactly, because he knew we needed to. That was something we needed to grip. We needed to grasp today and tomorrow.
Right. And he gave us the time. And he gave us time so that, you know, when he talked about when he would return and stuff like that, that we would have some sense of being able to grasp how long it would be.
Yes. Yes. He's such a kind father. He knows our frailties because he made us. And he has made provisions for us in doing just that. How would we really feel if we didn't believe that there was a time that Christ was coming back? We need to know that. We need to have faith in that he's coming back. So we need that thing called time. So I think as we get into this, and it is a concept that sometimes it's like, okay, fine, okay. You know, it's okay. Because he's revealing some things, and he's going to bring clarity. Holy Spirit is going to teach us. But the important thing is why. And that's what I want us to get. The why is because we are entering an atmosphere where things are different. And part of what's different is time. Now, it's still 24 hours a day, more or less.
Even though it don't feel like it. It goes so fast. Yeah.
And actually, it slows down and then maybe 23 hours or something. I don't know. Something. That's the technical. I'm not doing that. Just in general, it's 24 hours a day. And yet, we're very aware the prayer watch never stops.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the prayer watch is continuous. It's continuous because activity is continuous in the spirit realm. Okay, now I think it's wonderful that one of the things that he calmed young people with when we were really kids, you know, that little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, even though that's a horrible prayer for a little kid. But it was, you know, and I pray the Lord my soul to keep. We don't have that kind of concept. And if I should die before I wake, hello, okay. So especially for little kids, you 3 and 4 and 5 years old, even though you're instilling in them, I understand that, you know, you're in the arms of God. But the fact that you are laid down and you're going to sleep, he set that time aside for us to do that. But he wasn't going to sleep because he knew
that the realm in which he dwells, there's no sleeping. Angels don't sleep. Demons don't sleep. It's nonstop because they don't need the concept of time. Now, they do need to know their time is short. Okay. And that's a prophetic time. That's a surety that's coming to them. And so when we get into this, and I don't want some people to be going, oh, my God, what are we talking about now? But it's understanding part of, it's not the nature, but part of it's understanding the kingdom of our Lord. And the more of it that we can understand, more of the mysteries of it that are revealed to us, the more powerful we are in the earth realm, because the more confidence we have in who he is and who we are and how the two were strategically prepared to conquer. We have been strategically prepared with God to conquer evil. Anybody else? Okay, let's look at a couple questions. Let's see. Do I got time? Yeah, we got a few minutes. The Nehemiah 29:11. Anybody get that? And to go with that, what does God know? Because he is eternal. Anybody get that scripture for me? Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh.
We're looking at question 4 in the study guide on page 47. Anybody have an answer?
I'll just read it. I'll just read the scripture and someone can give the answer.
Okay.
This is the one who gives his strength and might to his people. This is the Lord giving us his kiss of peace. And that was from the TPT, the Passion Version.
And that's Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh, you know what? I thought you said Nehemiah.
I probably did, but it's Jeremiah, baby. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The scripture says he knows the thoughts he has toward me. Ooh, yeah, that one. To give
Say
me
that again,
hope and a peace.
Louder.
The scripture says he knows the thoughts he has toward me.
So, why is this being eternal? How would you answer that question? What does God know because he is eternal?
I would answer that
because he knows the thoughts he has toward me. Because he knows, because he is eternal, he already knows my destiny. He knows the purpose he has.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you, Michelle.
The purpose he has for me in this life. And his thoughts towards me.
You want to go to the post office or when we get them done up?
And his thoughts are you? Okay.
And I said from that scripture, and in fact, that used to be my famous scripture, but that is that he know what he's doing, and he want us to get out of the way and allow him to be God in our lives, and he already know the plan and everything that's going to happen from birth to now, and he's taking care of us. And if we just get out of the way and allow him to be God, he knows from beginning to what our future will be.
Okay.
We just need to
That's a good answer. That is insight. And that's something that we looked at in that chapter, because he sees it. He's in our future. He's looking at it. So he knows what it looks like. And he wants us to have a confidence in him, a trust in him, a faith in him, because we know now some information about him that will give us a surety that, okay, if somebody else said they saw your future, how many times did people in times past, not now, I know y'all don't do that, would go to the horoscope or whatever, and what does it say about me today? And you believe it. Hello? I mean, you know, and most of it, no, I'm not going to comment on that, but you believe it. And he's saying, believe me, because I see it. I'm in your future. I'm in your present, and I'm in your past. And the reason I am here is because of my love for you. And that's the takeaway that we want to have. That's the understanding that will cause us to rest in him. We could trust him. What happens
and
when you can
interesting.
Really...
Oh, go ahead. Finish.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's so interesting how you put that, because the other day my mom and I were singing, and she was singing the song Just So Close to Walk With Thee. And as you was talking about, he know our past, our present, and our future, and we allow him and walk close, just closer walk with him, he will satisfy and work all everything out. We ain't even got to be worrying about it. We ain't got to fear it.
Yep.
We ain't got to walk in anxiety. Everything you just stated, he's already doing it. If we just trust him, you know what I mean? Let go and let
there
him.
There you go.
Wow.
I love it. At the other Wednesday meeting, I think Apostle Holiday has said it, we complicate it. It's simple.
Yeah.
He doing it.
Whew.
You know, but we really do make it complicated. And yet, the Bible tells us that we have to become like one of the little children. They don't complicate things. For them, it's black and white. It's yes or no. I mean, that's it and that's all. But we will, yeah, only if, no, it's yes or no. Hello. So we do. We do tend to complicate things when we can keep it simple. And
It's because of our preferences. It's what we want. And we want God to be this genie in a bottle to give us what we want the way we want it and not necessarily the way he needs to give it to us. You don't feed a newborn baby a steak, you know, so he knows what we can handle and at what point in time we can handle it. And just because the baby is reaching for the steak doesn't mean he lets the baby eat the steak, as an example.
Right. Absolutely.
Wow.
Wonderful analogy. And and we have to realize, too, what he's saying is, I'm giving you this information about my personality, my promise, my provisions. You know, I'm going to that section now, page 107. And I got it highlighted, my purpose and my prophecy, so that you will trust me and let me do it. So I want you to want me. That's what he's saying. I'm giving you this so you will want me. And you want, and the thing that I read was, you know, God can do better with my life than I can. And this I know. Okay. So now I want him to. And we have to, and that's all he wants us to want him. And he gives us all this information, all of this truth, regarding who he is, so that we will desire to not do me, but to do him. And he puts up a good, he got a good case going, I'm telling you. I haven't seen one, and we know this. That's the killing part. We know this, okay? How many times do we, I think the book shared, we want him to do something, but we intervene. You know, it's just like a parent telling the kid to go do something, and every time the kid go to do it, the parent takes it and do something else with it because they don't like the way the kid doing it, the kid's not doing it fast enough or the right way, or yada, 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 yada. That's what we do to God. And he goes, you know I did this before, right? You know I'm good at this, right? You know I got all powerful and I make do anything I want, right? You know I love you, right? You know, so he wants us to reason, you know, let's reason together. If you reason together, just like the prophet on the mountain, if he do this, then let God be God. Now, if your God can do what my God do, you worship your God. But if he can't, you need to worship mine. And truly, he surely couldn't do what the living God did. And that's what God wants. He just wants us to choose him. To choose him. And if he needs to reveal more about himself to us so that we will prefer over us, or, and here's the ugly part, if he needs to reveal us to us so that we don't want us no more, he'll do that too. So I encourage you to do it because you learn about him, not necessarily because he had to reveal and bust you out and take you to a place where you realize your inability to do anything. So, praise the Lord. Any more insights, revelations, answers to questions?
From the overseer, this is my first time being on Blog Talk, and this Pastor D. And I thank Katie, my little daughter Katie, for just, she texted me this morning with the number, and I just called in. But when I heard the song Oceans, I was just intrigued to stay on the line. And so I'm just grateful to God. It was just phenomenal today. So I know you've been on for a long, 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 long time, but I just never took the time to stay on or to, I was usually in the streets or doing something, but this was phenomenal for me this morning, so thanks a lot. Thank you, Kate. I love you.
Excellent. Superb. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We're so glad that you're on. Welcome. You're welcome anytime. I am just I knew that this is something, and actually we've been on our seventh year, and God has been faithful to us, and we are so grateful for you and what you guys put into our Friday Fellowship of Learners. It's a joy. It is a joy. And we thank you. We thank all of our new listeners as well as old. And we will be here next week this time as well. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. We're set up now and prayerfully and it'll work. But if it don't, just look for text. I will text everybody if there's issues or whatever. But I'm pretty sure we should have it all in order now. So. God bless you. Anybody else? And actually, normally it's from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, okay? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have. Okay.
You.
All right. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
You too.
Amen. You too.
Bless weekend.
You too. Oh, yeah, I need to talk to you. Okay.